Welcome to Talk the
Radio.
Yeah, Kashira.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a great day.
Some people may not understand why I lift my hands and why I say amen and why I do my dance. I may not be driving fancy cars or hanging with the stars. Ain't got that house on the hill, see, that may be a thrill, but I know the man of faith, and I know he can. I know he's there, he's everywhere. I can feel him in my hands, I feel him in my feet, so keep me moving.
For joining us tonight for the Prophetic Sound Podcast. And we are honoring Apostles Marcus and Letitia Smith of Prophetic Wind Ministries International. And I am your host this evening, Lindsay Parker. I am honored to serve you on tonight's podcast. We are excited. We have a special guest on this evening for this podcast. And we are so excited to have Pastor Ted J. Howard on the line with us on tonight. He is the pastor teacher for Edison Street Community Church on Edison Avenue in Buffalo, New York. And I must say this, that he is an intercessor that is a pastor. He has a prophetic voice for this region, for this time, and operates under the Issachar anointing. And if you are wondering about the Issachar anointing, it is people that have been blessed with a forward word to instruct the people of God. Pastor Howard, welcome. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing tremendous, and thank you so much for the invite. I'm humbled to be on the show tonight, and just looking forward to a wonderful time in Christ.
Amen, amen. When I first approached, just for the listening audience, when I first approached Pastor Howard, I had a question or maybe a topic for discussion, and it's about prayer. It's creating a prayer language with God. And Pastor Howard and I are going to discuss that tonight, and I'm really looking forward to learning some things. A lot of people are very, they have very different ideas about what prayer is and what it requires. So, Pastor Howard, if, say, I'm a new believer and people are trying to explain to me that I need a prayer life to stay in touch with God, how would you instruct me on that?
You know what, Prophet, I'm probably going to come to you from a different angle. I think that new believers need to be brought along gradually. They need to be instructed in the spiritual things of God. So oftentimes what happens, we bum rush them and they said, if you don't have this, you're going to miss this. Because the teaching of tongues, depending on what church you're in, what church your family is connected to, can create great levels of confusion. Because the truth be told, in many of our churches, we are out of order from a biblical standpoint. So the first thing that I would tell that person, I would really instruct them first of all, and really try to my first desire would really to get them to a place where they understand the importance of discipleship. Because speaking in tongues without understanding foundation can eventually bring confusion, right? And so
yes,
the first thing that I would really begin to do is really begin to give them some fundamentals in terms of the Holy Spirit all in itself. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, if theologically, depending on what faith you have or what denomination you come out of. And so if you're in the Baptist church, they'll tell you, tongues is not relevant right now. If you're in the Church of God in Christ or apostolic, some people will say there's some different beliefs in the context of those denominations. But they'll tell you in some cases, when I came up, you would hear people say, you're not saved if you don't speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first thing to do is to build or to give the new believer a foundation, helping them to understand that being saved is so much more than coming to a building. It is really helping them to understand that you have the ability to receive and to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that the moment that you are converted into Christianity, you have now received, you have been grafted in, you have been brought into relationship with Jesus, you have been brought into a relationship with other believers, and now you have the Holy Spirit. So now as we begin to build that foundation, we can talk about the questions become, you know, these questions about what, you know, the gift of speaking in tongues. You know, there's at least four or five passages. There's one, if we were to take one passage, Prophetess, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So, you know, this particular scripture sometimes is taught wrong because the key word is groans. And so groans are not words. It's a groaning that cannot be understood with words or expressed by words. It is the Holy Spirit that is doing the groaning through the believer, right? And then
yes.
So when we begin, then we begin to talk about speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. So there needs to be some real fundamental teaching on the three differences, because sometimes we'll quote scriptures because we have heard someone else say it, but oftentimes what happens, we take that verse out of context. And I think the danger with taking passages out of context would be parallel with going into a fight instead of having an assault rifle, having, you know, a utility knife.
Yes, absolutely. I really appreciate you unpacking that. I just have to think about when I first became a new believer, and there was a lot of emphasis placed on you don't have the Holy Spirit if you didn't speak in tongues. You know, you don't have the Holy Spirit. There were certain things that they said would qualify you for, you know, being saved. And what I think was missed at that time was that we need to go to the Word of God. And if our life has changed and we have a different direction in life, we make different choices, we use different strategies for decision making, I think that when we look at that and it lines up with the fruit of the Spirit, I think that's more valuable to focus on. Do you have the fruit? Do you have an evidence of a changed life? Has your mind, you know, even if it's not all the way transformed, is it transforming? So I really appreciate you bringing that out to the audience, because sometimes we get so caught up on the one thing that we miss the many.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was thinking as you were talking, you know, there's a couple, two thoughts. The first thought is, you know, in Galatians, where he begins to talk about, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And then we talk about, you know, I've heard people teach there's nine fruits. And, you know, we know he says there's, we have one manifestation. We have one manifestation, but then there are nine offsprings. We possess them all. But oftentimes it is really associated with the yieldedness of the life of the believer. So he says, you know, you've been justified. Now you're sanctified. You're being sanctified, which is, from a theological perspective, it is something that is progressive. As we surrender and mature in the Word of God, all of a sudden now what is happening is the Holy Spirit is leading our lives. We're no longer leading in out of our flesh, but we are now learning and yielding to the Holy Spirit. So when I didn't know I could long suffer because I've yielded, now the Holy Spirit is teaching us how to long suffer with people, how to have joy. I remember someone was teaching one day, and they made a statement. They said sometimes when the Holy Spirit is teaching you, he'll bring you through life, because I think one of the other platforms that the Father uses to mature us is the life that we live in. So just like said Howard Stein, I always believe that ministry is life lived out. And so as I live life, I'm learning to yield my life. And sometimes what happens, I am confronted with trials or tribulations and difficulties. James, right? Count it all joy. Well, I'm not mature enough to know that I should count it all joy, because I don't really want to have to go through the fire. I don't want to have to go through the obstacles. But as we yield ourselves, in some cases, we can't go backwards. We have to go through the fire. What we've come to learn is that he really does walk through us through the valley. He really does walk with us through these adversities. I think that as we cultivate a desire to build the relationship with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit begins to take us to places. Oftentimes we are, I think that people are speaking, they're okay, this is experiential over the last 25 years or so. I've noticed that people oftentimes, and I want to be careful, not everyone, but I have noticed this in some instances, that people are they are speaking, but from their head and not by the Spirit. And when I mean speaking, because we've heard the same, Rokurashama, you know, they're speaking through their head and not by the Spirit. And when we are learning, when I got saved, I remember I was just praying, and all of a sudden, I couldn't stop. It was almost like an out-of-body experience. And then I learned something, that as I yielded and as I learned to walk with the Holy Spirit, my spiritual language, I could it would manifest without me trying to think it through. It
yes.
was something that came through the spirit. I didn't always have to think it through. And I think that oftentimes one of the errors in the church that we make is that we think it through and not let it flow through by the spirit.
I'm thinking about that because we often, you know, many times in my early Christ life, I struggled with that because I wasn't churched, okay? So I looked at how they did things. You know what I'm saying? And saying, I said, I don't know what they have. I know that I want it, right? Even though I didn't understand it. So I looked at a lot of things. So I learned how to talk the talk before I learned how to walk the walk. So what happened, Pastor, was that my relationship was brought on by unrealistic expectations. And I wound up putting such unrealistic expectations on myself because I was trying to live it through the talk instead of the walk, that I wound up getting discouraged and walking away because I said, who couldn't live this thing? Who can do this thing without flaw, you know? And I was just wondering if there's anyone in our audience or anyone that might think that way. I don't know, maybe people haven't failed, but I'm going to be honest, I failed miserably because I wasn't able to live up the unrealistic expectations that I placed on myself. And it began to be really legalistic instead of relationship. So what would be your take on that, Pastor?
I believe my take on it is that oftentimes we want to give people instructions without giving them. Okay, we want to tell people how to do or give them instructions without giving them understanding. So what we want to do is sometimes you got to do this. I can tell you to do something without giving you an understanding on how to walk that through, what to expect. Maybe it's not going to happen right away. Maybe it's going to be a process. Maybe I'm going to help you to understand that that your greatest challenge is learning how to not think it through, but how do you move from within and outwardly by the Spirit or through the Word of God? Because for me, in my experience, and what we began to do, it was those who thirst and hunger. Right? Blessed are those who thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, what will they be filled with? They will be filled by the things of God. They will be filled by the things of the Spirit. And so I'll give you just an example for some who may be listening, and maybe some know that where my background in terms of where I came out of. Just before when I came, we used to have a prayer ministry that we started after we came from I went out to San Jose, California, to Ed Savasso's Prayer Evangelism Conference, and the Lord gave me some instructions about starting a prayer school, and I won't get into the why of it, but we began to meet every Thursday. And what we began to understand, and you have to understand something, no one ever taught me, I caught it. So as I had an encounter with God, what would happen is the Holy Spirit, began to teach me and things I did not understand, and so I had to educate myself through the Word of God. I went to places that embraced the things of begin to embrace the movement, the presence, and the functionality of the Holy Spirit. And so we came back, and we would meet every Thursday, and we would start somewhere around 6 or 7, about 7 o'clock, and there would be times that we would leave our prayer meeting till 11 o'clock. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And then we decided we did a symposium of worship, and then we decided we needed to add prayer. So why we can't teach people on worship if they don't understand prayer. Well, we did the symposium on prayer and worship, and we did a survey, and the survey astonished us. This was a church that was birthed out of prayer in the morning, but many people said, you know, when no one, everybody's been telling us to pray, but no one has instructed us on how to pray. So there was a prayer school that was birthed out of that, and it's still going on now through Pastor Jerry at Elam Christian Fellowship, and she's taking it to a whole nother level. But my point was this. And so we would do, she would teach how to hear the voice of God. And then at the end of the session, probably some of them were 12, 14, 15 weeks or more, we would do activation. And what we found out after the teaching, we had people who had been in church for 20, 30, 40 years, who were in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, began to activate, here it is, activate what was already in them. Activate what was already in them, and they began to speak in tongues. And every now and then, not everyone had the gift, but every now and then we were able to interpret some of what they were saying, and we would record it. Now, what am I going after here? There's sometimes, I use myself, that it is caught. But there are also other times where we give people knowledge and understanding, and as they cultivate a hunger to want to know more about God, to have a deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit, because everybody that starts doesn't finish in classes, right? Yeah. Usually the ones who finish are the ones who have been doing the homework, who have been sticking with the classes, who have been responding, and then through that process and through that encounter, they've come and had an experience with the Spirit of the living God, and all of a sudden now their theology shifts, their how they see church begins to shift, because what they have been doing for 20, 30, and 40 years, that experience totally transforms and changes everything. So I believe when the believer comes in, we need to walk them through. We need to help them to understand, particularly in this hour, prophetess, because the Bible is unfolding itself expeditiously, right?
Yeah.
And so we need to help people to understand it's not enough for you to have membership in the church. You need to understand your citizenship in the kingdom.
Yes.
I'm giving you keys to the kingdom, but I haven't taught you how to use the keys. Because you think being a member is enough. You can be a member of the church, still not have any power because you have it, but you don't know how to access it.
Yes.
And so the accessibility comes from being connected to, let me just give these little metaphors, these words. You need to be connected to people who are credible, who are compassionate, who are committed, and who are competent. Why? Because you are in covenant with will impart to you. And in the early stages of your salvation, you want to be imparted by the righteousness that Christ has given to us through leaders and through our salvation through Christ Jesus. And so you want to make sure, first of all, that we're doing everything on our end. We're living in a time now. Everyone wants it right away, right? Everybody wants everything right away. And God will move quickly in this hour, but he's going to only move quickly to those who have a real, authentic, and sincere hunger to know him. Without agenda, without making a name for themselves, they just, you know, the worship song says, all I want is you, right? All I want is you. He's looking for people in this hour that all they want. He has searched First Chronicles chapter 16, right? He is searching to and for, looking for a man or woman's heart who's loyal to him. He's just looking for loyalty. He's looking for loyalty. He's looking for men and women who just say, God, I want to please you. I don't want to break your heart, right? I just want to serve you. And so this hour that we're in is so critical that God is really moving by his Spirit. And unfortunately, we're hearing the negative noise and not the positive noise.
Yeah.
The negative noise is all about the politics. It's about civil war and racial unrest. And yes, those are realities. But God supersedes our earthly realities. Set your affections on those things that are above and not beneath. So it's going to be the people who are whose focus are on heavenly things, but not ignoring earthly things, but have made a determination that they will not be preoccupied by earthly things. Because the revelation to get over earthly issues is to keep your focus on the things that are above in heavenly places. Amen? And so he's raising up that people to activate them, to help them have an understanding of the pneuma, of the breath of God that lives in each. It's expedient that I go to be with the Father, that you might have, that another comforter will come. It's expedient that you have that. It's expedient that you release me. Don't look in heaven. Don't keep looking up in heaven, waiting, wondering when I'm coming. I'm giving you another comforter. Amen. And so we are in that moment where there's an outpouring and the Holy Spirit is waiting. The earth is groaning. Waiting for the sons of God to position themselves. But this next move will not happen in just one church. It's going to happen in hot spots all over the city, the region, the nation, because people have surrendered everything to the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I'm talking too much. But that's what I see. You know, that's what is that's what's burdening me, you know, to help people to have a level of understanding. And so prophetess, and I know you do a phenomenal job. I know Apostle Smith does a great job in terms of teaching. And I think this is the hour that we really need to teach and stir up the gifts, because we have so many people that are gifted, but they skip steps.
Come on.
And so what's happening is they're moving prematurely without having right understanding. And what they don't understand is they're being deceived. And the Bible says that the day will come that even the very elect can be fooled. Well, there's a lot of people that are using the name of Jesus. Their worship is great. But some people, there are some doctrines out here now, and they embrace the Holy Spirit, and they believe in healing. And guess what? God is healing people. People are getting delivered. But watch this now. They don't believe that you need to talk about sin. They don't need to believe that you know, grace covers all of that. Don't worry about it. But all, the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says all sin.
Yes.
He doesn't put it in the past tense. He says, all sin. So the blood covers us, but we've got to learn how to do what Joel says in chapter 2. And he says, rinse your heart.
Yes.
Rinse your clothes and turn back to me. See, that's what he's looking for, forgiveness through repentance that says, God, I missed it. And I'm coming back to you. And the presence of the Holy Spirit will grieve us, will cause us to be sorrowful when we've done things that have broken the heart of God. I was, Sandra and I, I've been knowing my wife now since I was 18. We've been married for almost 30 years now.
All right.
And my wife is my metaphor, amen? She's my metaphor for my relationship with Jesus, with the Lord. And so I can measure how I treat my wife. Oftentimes the Lord uses as an example to how he's feeling as my wife feels. So here's real quick. So she said something once. She said to me, she said, you know what? She may not say something right away, so she'll wait a few days. And she said, you know what? I was wounded. I was hurt by something you said last week. And I said, what? She said, you know, we've been knowing each other. We've been together a long time. We've been knowing each other since we were teenagers. And you said this one thing, and it bothered me. And I was wondering why I didn't have access to her during that period of time. Now, I'm not even talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally. I didn't have access. And so when she brought it to my attention of what I had done, I began, I said, Lord, I said, honey, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I didn't know you felt that way. I didn't know that it angered you. I didn't know that it hurt you. Well, would you just forgive me? And then we began to talk. Watch it now. We began to have a conversation. Prayer is conversation with God. We began to have a conversation. And as I began to express to her what I did and how sorrowful I was, now watch this. She didn't open up right away. But after a couple days later, we began to laugh at her. This is what she said. She said, I know you didn't mean it, but I needed you to know that it affected me.
My God.
And all of a sudden, I regained access to her emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
mm-hmm.
with God, we can hurt, we can break God's heart, we can offend him. And it's not that God leaves us because he's omnipresent. But God will raise something up to draw us, to draw our attention, to let us know by the Spirit that dwells in us, the Holy Spirit, to let us know that we have hurt him, that we have offended him, that there is something that we need to deal with him so that we can have access again. Praise
my
the Lord.
God.
And that
God.
Comes from having an understanding that in this hour, it's just not by the word of God, not by power, nor by might, but what? By the Spirit of the Lord. That's the hour that we're living in now. And we need teachers that will equip men and women, young and old, for this war that we're mounting and that is gaining momentum. And
mm-hmm.
we have to understand what I love what Apostle Hardin said on Saturday. He said, listen, this has to go beyond a building. And
yes.
one of the challenges that the leadership has in the church in this hour is that we have so many people that have had so many religious experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to change a religious mindset so that they have more of a kingdom understanding. And when you have more of a religious, let's call that a man-made religion, because the humanity has changed a lot of what we do in church. And so we have not always talked about the kingdom of God. We might mention it, but we now God is looking for us to demonstrate it. It
mm-hmm.
goes beyond four walls in a building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are made of we are the living stone. Jesus is the cornerstone. So there has to be, we are in a real critical time where we need strong men and women who are not looking to make a name for themselves. But understand, as you have two daughters, I have three children, my responsibility is to push them and to get them to do things that I have never done, to super exceed what I've done on the earth. That's what the teacher, watch it now, he says, and I've given the apostle, I've given the church some gifts. I've given them five gifts. I've given them the gift of the apostle, the gift of the prophet, the gift of the evangelist, pastor teacher to equip. Now please forgive me, I believe that anyone who is operating in a gifting of true apostolic, prophetic, evangelical, pastoral, and teacher's gifting, one of our responsibilities, according to the Apostle Paul, is that we must equip the people who believe they've been called to follow us as we follow Christ.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
one of
sir.
The challenges that we have is that we are, it is time out for us to have glorified armor bearers.
Mm.
The armor bearers have a place. Please, beloved, just hear me. I'm not rebuking that. But what I am saying, I've had elders who have served with me and for me. But there's periods where I don't let them. I'm trying to get them to learn something from serving, so that one day they can duplicate what I'm doing for them.
Yes.
But if I don't have that mindset, they'll all of a sudden become stagnant and complacent in what they were known to do,
mm-hmm.
and not really get the revelation of why they were doing it. Jesus says, "Listen, follow me." Put down your fishing rods and follow me. I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. And the moment that Jesus is crucified, the moment he comes back in his bodily resurrection, John chapter 20, he's walking the shore. They don't even recognize him, and he's looking out, and they've gone back to what he called them out of.
Yes.
And we're seeing now that what happens is when people are not getting the same results as what they watched, they're going back to what they used to do.
Mm.
And the Lord is saying, no, 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 that's not what I, when I called you to it, you can't go back to what you do. That's why you didn't catch any fish. And he gives them a small illustration. Watch this. Simplistic in the text. He says, cast your net on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was Jesus really trying to teach them? I'm still speaking, even though you think I'm dead.
Jesus.
Cast your, I'm trying to teach you to listen to my voice. And if you follow my voice, you'll
yes.
never have to want for anything. I want to use that metaphorically as the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to teach people about this importance, and I think I know I'm saying a lot, and I apologize if I sound all over the place, but I want to this idea of speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, well, they both need interpreters. And this
yes.
is where sometimes the church has gotten out of order. We've talked about all the gifts of and I want to just make a little bit of a turn here. One
mm-hmm.
of the gifts that we don't try to stir and that we don't want to, that we don't try to teach, and certainly it's by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, is the gift of interpretation.
Yes.
We have people who have the gift of interpretation, but if you don't teach them how to hear the voice of God, they'll have the interpretation and not know it's the interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we been in meetings where tongues have broken out, and all of a sudden I've had people who called me and said, Pastor Ted, the Lord gave me the interpretation. I said, well, what was it? They'll write it down. They'll text me, and I said, why didn't you write it down and give it to somebody so we can release it?
Right.
I was afraid that I would get hurt because I did it here before and they shut me down. Now watch this. So now in the church, particularly in the church of color, which researchers over many years have found out African Americans have been one of the most prophetic people of any other race, but at the same time we have the most religious.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've got a fight within the religion. Man-made religion, Jesus says, the Apostle Paul says, real religion is those who feed the poor and clothe the home, those who have no clothes, provide shelter. But man-made religion creates laws and that are not biblical. And so now we're following all these rules and regulations that are not biblical. And so now you have man-made laws that are fighting with your DNA.
Yes, yes.
The Holy Spirit, your DNA for heaven, is saying, this is what they've said. But you don't want to say it because religion is saying, you trying to figure it out in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But the
mm-hmm.
Spirit, the Holy Spirit has said, no, 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 this is what it is. Because there's a voice, the inner voice in your heart, and then there's another voice that comes, speaks to your ear.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, so if we don't teach people to distinguish the voice, the inner voice, the voice of your soul, the voice of the enemy, the voice of the world, and the voice of God. So if we do not discern which voice we are hearing, people oftentimes will live life in confusion.
Yes.
So I'm putting my foot on the pedal of, if we're going to raise up people who understand, who have understanding about what it means to pray in tongues and speak in tongues, we need men and women who are credible, who are competent, who are committed and compassionate, who are willing to lay their life down and push people with knowledge and understanding further than they'll ever go, so that we can raise up an army of the sons of Issachar and that we can raise up men and women who understand the responsibilities of the tribe of Judah, and that we can raise up another tribe, the tribe of Zebulun, who were not double-minded but knew how to war, who understood warfare. So Issachar says, the spirit of Issachar says, this is what the Lord is saying, and this is how we need to do it. Judah says, I know my responsibility. We're going to break down these strongholds with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Zebulun
mm-hmm.
says, and when you do that, we're going in because we are masters of warfare. One gives the direction of where to go, how to go, when to go. The other one says, we're going to break down the walls of Jericho with our praise. And then the next one says, and we're going to go in and we're going to deliver and set free and annihilate the enemy. So what is that? It's by the Spirit, because if you do not know the voice of God, then it's going to be difficult for you to stir up the DNA that's already in you. You need people who are able to do that. One of the persons said to me, we've been talking, one of my prayer partners that we walk together, and we've been talking about this whole idea about discipleship, because one of the things that we've gotten away from is discipleship. And discipleship is twofold. You need a teacher and you need a student for discipleship.
Mm.
You need a teacher who can instruct, but you need a student who's committed.
Come on.
And we have a problem because sometimes we don't have a teacher that's committed, and then a teacher that wants to teach, a teacher that's willing to be inconvenienced, because discipleship is not a convenient ministry. Discipleship often happens in days and moments and times where you really don't want to make time, you don't have time, you're doing something else, but yet there is someone who's crying out and says, I need someone to walk me through. The other side of that is that I have the teacher, but I'm not committed to grow up.
Hmm.
Being in the church is enough for me. I don't really care about the Holy Spirit. I don't really, all I want to know is that when I die, they're going to be able to put me in a casket and then put me in and sit me before church. It's a powerful thing in this hour. So, I mean, you know, I prophetess, I really believe that the foundation that I'm going back to, when people come in and we've got a lot of gifted young people, we can't judge them, but I think the key to much of what we're saying here as it relates to speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, you know, one is on to the Father. The other one is what the Holy Spirit has given us and is speaking out in the public. Both need interpretation. One needs an interpreter. The other one, they both need an interpreter, but one, the prayer is really between me and God. It is a language that the enemy cannot decipher. It is my secret weapon that my DNA is communicating to headquarters in heaven, and I'm getting strategies. I'm getting a download for this Kairos moment that I'm in. The other one says, we've got to teach you how to hear the voice of God so that when you have when you hear another language speaking, you're able to interpret what that language is saying. I'm in America, but what I heard is Russian, and this is what the Lord said. Well, how did you know that? Well, because I know the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
And it lines up with the word of God. And so I believe in this hour we are raising, there's a group of men and women that are raising up. And I wanted to say this, and I don't know, one of the things that I've wrestled with over the years is having members coming from other churches who wanted some understanding about their spiritual gifting. And I wrestled with that because I never wanted to have leaders believe that I was trying to, convince their members to come from where they are to where I am. I don't believe in that. So one of the things that the Lord has been teaching me is give people what they need, but send them back to their home.
Yes.
See, sometimes we don't want to help people because they don't belong to the membership of Edison, but they belong to the membership of God's kingdom, right?
Right.
And so if I can help somebody, why am I restricting? Why am I restricting them based on geographical location? No, my responsibility, Jesus never pastored a church. The Apostle Paul was a missionary. He went from place to place.
Yes,
and
sir.
So Jesus says, listen, no, I didn't call you just to Pastor Edison. I called you to shepherd people who will come your way, but send them back home from where they come from. Send them back home with some levels of understanding. Give them something that they tangible that they can take and read and study that will help them where they are. Until I make a decision on what I want to do with them, right? And so I believe that's the kind of in this hour, if we're going to be kingdom minded, give people what they need. And if you have a relationship with the pastor, some pastors I have a relationship with, I'll call them. I said, listen, you know, XYZ came to see me. This is what I've done for them with their gifting, or this is what the Lord is dealing with them in this area, and this is what I suggested to them. And what did I just do? I want to kill the enemy's voice from planting a seed of discord in the heart of the heart of that pastor or that leader, so that we can remain to be effective kingdomly. I don't want us to have a clogged artery so that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is restricted on where he can flow to. One of the ways that I kill the restriction is that I go ahead and I begin to deal with things before the enemy uses it to create an obstruction, a flow that we should have from one church to the next. No matter what you believe, I've got to learn to respect, because I know the Lord loves you, but because we may look at things differently, should not make us create a restriction in the flow of what the Holy Spirit wants to do.
Yes. My God. I'm trying to keep my mind on what I'm doing here, Pastor, because I have notes all over my page, and I went on a journey, and I have to come back now.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No,
you know,
I got lost in what you were.
I might have called
revelation
that, but I'm a little bit. Yeah, I think that what I'm really trying to emphasize. This is what I feel in my heart. In my spirit, and that is sometimes we've got to help people not to put the cart before the horse.
Yes.
Build the foundation, and as we're building the foundation, let us introduce them to the pneuma, the spirit of God. And how do we
do that?
Not with words, but with life. See, I can tell you all I want to do about the Holy Spirit. But you need to see the Holy Spirit operating in me with joy and peace. You need to see how I handle adversity and
don't lose
my countenance. You need to see my love, even when I've been when I may not have been treated fairly. You see, and that's what we need to be adding in this hour. There's been times where I've had arrangements that didn't always work out the way we agreed upon them. But you know what I did? The Lord had me to go, and I sold us. I sold into the works, because we're in the same kingdom, and it's not my issue. If I believe that the Lord has called me to help a brother or a sister or another ministry out, it has nothing to do with me looking for me to reciprocate.
Right.
If I do that, then it was wrong. Why am I doing that? Because I want to keep the flow open. You see, I want to keep the flow open, because the truth of the matter is, if one church fails, we all miss it. Pastor falls, it affects us all. When one apostle misses it, we all miss it. You know, the powerful thing in Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is going to, can't think of the region he was in, but he was supposed to meet Titus there. And the Bible says this. He says it was an open door for the Apostle Paul to preach, but his mentee was not there. And the scripture says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, right around verse 12, in the beginning of that that pericope. He says, but he was troubled in his spirit. He was troubled in his spirit because Titus was not there. And I was sharing with us in the moment of teaching one Sunday that it's a wonderful teaching moment if I ever get a chance to go back to it, because Paul taught us a lesson. God had opened up a door for him to minister the word, but he was unsettled because the person he was called to pour into that was going to replace him at one time, he didn't have peace because he wasn't present.
Yes.
And so the Apostle Paul leaves that place and goes to Macedonia searching for Titus. Because and could it have been that God was testing him to find out if he was more concerned about preaching the word than mentoring the word?
Yes, yes.
Mentoring the word that was going to come through Titus.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes what we'll do is that when we have a responsibility to the next generation, come on now, cultivating them, getting them ready, new converts. I'm the spiritual father, the spiritual parent. And and Paul says, you know what? The door that God opened, he'll leave it open. But right now I've got to go and get the son that he brought to me.
Yes.
That's a powerful thing. Why? Well, Pastor Tim, how is that relevant for this conversation? Because when we are teaching people about the gift of tongues, whether it be praying or speaking, one of the first things they need to see, the character, that we are living in because the Spirit abides in us. That we are not moved by what we can get. We are not moved by just doors being open, because we know that God opened the door. That door will stay open until we have fulfilled our assignment. It's one of those practical lessons that we don't always acknowledge of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Holy Spirit who is building character, that is teaching us that what you are called to sometimes is more important than what you are called to do.
Yes.
What you are called to sometimes is more important than what you are called to do. As active in doing something. To, meaning to be with someone, to have your hand on someone, to be walking with someone. Hallelujah. Ah. So, you know, to change the construction of our thinking, and that is kingdom mandate says, what we got to do in this hour, we've got to get back to the model of Acts. The church will be open to empower you. But
yes,
you need to get out into the community and watch us. And let me teach you how you can be prophetic in the middle of East Delavan while we're doing outreach.
Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let me teach you that when you have learned how to hear the voice of God, that we can pray for people. And we don't have to tell them, thus says the Lord. I hear the Lord saying, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, all we need to do is pray what we hear and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. What you're talking about, Pastor Ted, I'm saying, that we're sending people into the community and we're teaching them how to be sent. We're watching them, and all of a sudden they are catching the pulse of the Holy Spirit abiding in them. They're gaining faith. They're coming into an understanding of who they are. Here's a powerful verse, prophetess, that I'd like to read if I can. Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 1. I love this. I pray it often. Have not prayed in a while, but early on I used to pray it all the time. It says, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus, chapter 1, verse 18 says, and the eyes of your understanding. Now, the eyes of your understanding. It's where we get the word ophthalmologist or ophthalmology, right? He says the eyes of your understanding. He said to be, that it might be that it might be enlightened. He says this is the vision, but it is translated the faculty of knowing.
Wow.
Your eyes of understanding is the faculty of knowing. Not I sense, not I believe, but of knowing.
Yes.
So he says, the faculty of your understanding being enlightened. He says understanding. What is he saying? Understanding. Understand. He says the faculty, he says, the mind of the spirit. My God. He says the mind of the spirit. Desiring the mind of the spirit. The faculty of the mind of the spirit being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches, right? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? What is the working of his mighty power? The Holy Spirit. The exercise of this immense strength that is in us. What is it? The Holy Spirit. So he says, listen, this is the prayer that I was praying early on. Lord, open up my eyes. Give me your, I need the faculty or the vision of your understanding. I needed to be enlightened. I needed to bring in, I need you to put light on it. I need to be instructed. I need to be informed. I need that so that I might know the word ego. I might know that I might consider, that I might perceive, that I might discover, that I might discern. What is the hope of his calling? And the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. So he says, and that's what we want to pray to help our, that their eyes would be, that the faculty, that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, that they might know. That's the key, that they might know, that they will know through the understanding being enlightened, and they might know what is the hope of his calling. That's my prayer for so many now, that their eyes would be opened. Because we have so many people. I do not believe that when the Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, that he was talking necessarily to unbelievers. There are believers, or those who profess to believe, who are blinded by the god of this world, because they have made a decision to live a carnal life and not a spiritual life. And we need leaders that will, who understand spiritual truth and foundation, to instruct, empower, and activate another group of believers, that they might now be enlisted in the last day army. Hallelujah. Hello? Dear Lord, bless your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Eda Shanda Rokushete. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, you get a little Shabbat. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy.
Father, we want to thank you so much for your graciousness.
for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Father, I pray, Lord, that much of what we have discussed or we talked about tonight have been edifying to your people. And Lord, I pray today for every teacher, every apostolic teacher, every prophetic teacher, every evangelistic teacher, every pastor teacher. Lord, I pray for every teacher tonight that, Lord, for those that they have influenced, those who are following them as they follow Christ, I pray, God, today, Lord, may they take them to the foundation. Lord, I pray tonight that they will not be discouraged, that they will not be dismayed by those, Lord, who are not committed to the process. But today, Lord, I pray that you'll raise up Timothys and Tituses in their lives, raise up men and women in their lives, Lord, who are hunger and who have a hunger and thirst for you. Father, who want to understand the spirit of the Holy Spirit abiding on the inside of them. Lord, I pray, let this be the hour that you raise up men and women, sons and daughters, that you would raise up the spirit of Issachar and Judah and Zebulun like never before. Lord, just for the opportunity to share a little bit of our heart, I pray, Lord, let not one word fall to the ground. May it accomplish what you have desired it to accomplish into the hearts and the minds of your people. And Lord, I pray that in this hour, Lord, where many have been weary and well-doing, I pray today, Lord, that you will raise, that you will breathe on them, that they will be recalibrated, Lord, that they will be refreshed and restored, that they might finish strong. Lord, I pray today, may we continue to press toward the mark like never before in Jesus' name. And I thank you for this honor, and I thank you for the privilege just to share my heart, Father. I pray today, Lord, I believe that you are looking for us to revisit the foundations of truth. That no longer, Father, do we have gifted people without foundation. For gifted people without foundation is short of witchcraft. Lord, I pray your blessings now. Bless apostles, the Smith family, Lord. I pray that you would use this day, Lord. May they enjoy it. May you abide with them. Thank you for Prophetess Parker today, Lord. Thank you for all that you are doing and all that you've done. Thank you for every person that has been on this call. May the blessings of the Lord cause them to be rich and add no sorrow with it. In Jesus' name, amen.